back to Adam and gives prominence to Jesus as God and man in his gospel. Luke presented Jesus as the true representative of the universal man. His characteristics of his gospel clearly defines the following. First, the concept of pardon and redemption. Secondly, of angelic presence, appearances of angels to Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph, Anna, and the shepherds. Christ before us as a healer and broken lives. And fourthly, praise and thanksgiving expressed and sung. And finally, the mention of Holy Spirit. Luke makes a reference to the special mission of the Holy Spirit. The running theme in Luke's gospel is the compassion of Jesus for the Gentiles, Samaritans, women, children, tax collectors, sinners, and others often regarded as outcasts in Israel. Why do we connect our anointing with oil as part of healing? In today's gospel reading, Jesus states his mandate for his ministry on earth. Jesus had just returned from Satan's temptation in the desert to Galilee, and the news of his return spreads throughout the region. He then goes to Nazareth, his hometown. On the Sabbath day, he goes to the synagogue, as was his custom. He is given the scroll to read from the book of Isaiah. He reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has set me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He sits down and says, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." The people are shocked as he has just claimed the status of God. When we experience disbelief, we often go back to known facts. The people knew Jesus' earthly parents, Mary and Joseph, and questioned what this carpenter's son is talking about, comparing himself to God. So in their disbelief, they rejected him, and Jesus could not do much for them or with them during their disbelief. How sad. They had Jesus in their midst and yet missed out the opportunity to receive his blessings. We are not different from the people of Jesus' time on earth. Today we have no excuse not to believe the scriptures. We know the beginning from the end. Jesus is the Son of God who came to redeem us from sin and spiritual death. He died and rose again to live forever. We serve a living God who is still working in our lives. He lives in and with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the symbols of the Holy Spirit is oil. That is why we use oil to anoint when you come forward for anointing. The anointing is often said with a simple prayer, such as, "By this holy anointing, may the Lord in his love and mercy uphold you by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit." Or we may just say a prayer suited to your request when you come up for anointing. The ministry of anointing comes from the teachings of Jesus. It is a powerful ministry of entrusting ourselves to Christ's healing touch, of not just physical, but of all aspects of our lives. When you drive through Palm Springs in the U.S., you pass through the famous desert resort community, where desert sweetened grapefruit is advertised and sold. That's the way it is with us. We go through our dry living experiences, daily in and out routine of life, most often not receiving any encouragement or support. When you come up to receive the anointing of oil, the Holy Spirit hears your verbal and nonverbal thoughts and blesses you according to your needs. If you read the book of James, chapter 5, in the New Testament portion of your Bible, he devotes the whole chapter and passage to the healing ministry of oil anointing. It is biblical and practiced in both the Catholic and the Anglican diocese in Canada, as well as the whole Anglican Communion in the world. We use St. Luke's Day to highlight this ministry, partly because St. Luke was a physician, and also because he believed strongly in the miraculous healings of Christ. We are grateful to St. Luke, who set forth in his gospel the love and healing power of our Lord Jesus Christ. St. Luke could do it so sympathetically as one who himself ministered to the sick. If you read through Luke's 24 chapters of his gospel, you will find two strong features. One is the fact that he records the most amount of healing miracles done by Jesus. And second, he highlights the ministry of women with Jesus. He had a healthy view of women in ministry and their contribution to the work of Jesus Christ on earth. He highlighted the woman who anointed Jesus' feet with oil before his arrest and death. He also mentioned about women who followed Jesus, who provided for Jesus, and when you read the Acts of the Apostles, Luke again highlights the various women who served St. Paul in his ministry and life. St. Luke valued the ministry of women and held them in high regard, just as St. Paul did. However, this ministry of anointing is open to both men and women. It is a ministry, a service open to anyone who has the desire to serve in this ministry. If you are called to be in this ministry, you will have to speak to your rector, and she in turn will counsel you, pray with you, and discern with you the Lord's calling for you to be an anointer. I was requested to share a bit about my testimony with you this morning. I was a cradle Christian and come from 5 generations of believers, and my great-great-grandfather was baptized Koil Play, which means keeper of the church. Since then, we have had ministers in our family. My father was an Anglican clergy in the Diocese of Singapore, and my younger brother is also a clergy, and he has become a missionary in Surabaya, Indonesia, and has been working among the marginalized boat people for the last 20 years. I was also very involved in church ministry from a very young age, Sunday school into youth fellowship, followed by adult fellowship, and also various committees in the church. However, I took God for granted and did not have a personal relationship with him until the age of 28, when God met me in a dramatic way. I had gone to visit my sister and family in Brisbane, Australia. She was married, and her husband and 2 sons had settled there soon after the birth of their first son. I was visiting them for the first time and was very excited. On the eve of my departure, I came down with eye pain. I dismissed it as tired eyes, as I had been busy at work till the day of my departure. As I waved to my family at the airport, I realized I only was looking at blur visions of people. Still, I went ahead, got into the plane, and arrived at Brisbane Airport the next day. It was with difficulty I spotted my family waiting to welcome me. I did not tell them anything until the next day when I couldn't open my eyes. My sister was beside herself, and they rushed me to Brisbane Princess Alexander Hospital, where I was admitted at once. I soon realized that I was a celebrity, as no doctors had encountered such an eye problem before in their work. The specialist who took an interest in my illness was a very knowledgeable man, but he had not seen it firsthand, this illness. It was discovered that I had iritis, an inflammation of the iris. I regained 55% of my eyesight with treatment and was hospitalized for 2 weeks in Brisbane, Australia. While I was there, many doctors and interns came to see me and to inspect my eyes and used me as a teaching tool for their interns and young doctors. And the plus part of it was, because they used me so much in a wave of study, they did not charge me a cent. So there's always God's mercy in everything. I became a teaching tool for the hospital. One night in the hospital, the Lord spoke to me. He told me that I will regain my eyesight, but not fully. It'll be the thorn in my flesh to remind me that I am his servant, and he will use me in the work of his ministry. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, and my grace is sufficient for you, was what was given to me that night in my hospital bed. On my return to Singapore, with follow-up treatment, I got back 85% of my sight, and I started using glasses for the first time. Needless to say, my life changed completely, and I focused on serving Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I changed my job and worked for the church from then on. I was appointed as a full-time counselor in a fast-growing church with a membership of 4,000 people, and I helped to open their counseling center for the church. It was in this capacity that I was invited to come to Canada to study further in social work, with a promise of a job waiting for me in Singapore when I return. However, when I came here, I found work among women suffering from substance abuse, and I decided to stay in Canada as the work was rewarding and the women who the Lord sent my way needed to know the Lord and to experience his love. Although I was never allowed to share the gospel at work, I tried to live the gospel at work among these women, and many of them came to the Lord. A few have gone on to higher jobs and are still in touch with me. I retired last year, and now my focus is to work for the Lord as he wills me to. In early 2010, Reverend Debbie Kosak, the incumbent of then of St. Barnabas Church, asked me to be a deacon of the parish, and I was ordained on the 18th of October, 2011, on St. Luke's Day at St. Barnabas Church by Bishop Patrick Wu as the deacon of the parish. The reason I chose St. Luke's Day was because my father was ministering to the lepers in Singapore, and his church was called St. Luke's. And nobody would take on to that church because they were afraid of leprosy. My father willfully went into that colony, and he became their incumbent and stayed there till the time he retired. So St. Luke's holds a very dear feeling for me and my family, because it always brings me back the memory of the time my father served at St. Luke's, and he would take all of us there, because he always told us, if God is with you, you shouldn't be afraid of these things. He will take care of you. My father's missionary promise to God was that, if you take care of my family, I will give my life to you completely. So he never worried about any of his children, and we were nine of us. And he always believed that we were all ordained to be in the ministry with him. He said he was not called to the ministry alone, that his whole family was called to the ministry. So we served with him throughout our lives growing up together. So this is why I had asked for speaking on St. Luke's Gospel. And I pray that the Lord has ministered to you in some way in what I have shared with you this morning. We are having our anointing training program in May. And if you feel called to, and if you feel this is what God is asking you to do, then please talk to Reverend Julie Burns and go forward from there, and the Lord will mightily bless you, for he has definitely done a great work in my life. May God continue to bless you as you share in the ministry of anointing. Amen.